Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Restroom Podcast. I'm Oyekosola, your host, and I'm back again. I think I said I'm back again a lot, so it makes it it's giving very P square, and yeah, maybe I am back again, but better than P square. Anywho, today is just a regular day. My week, something happened last week that I was very excited about. So I went to the store in hopes to get something different, and I was about paying for what I wanted, and I saw like there was a rack close to the counter where they had stack and stack of water gun, and I was absolutely delighted. Like, I was super stoked because I've been looking for water gun for ages in this Lagos. I love a good water gun fight, and I used to get my older sister to indulge in one with me. So because I didn't have one, right, I would use my spray bottle for my hair and I'll fill it with water. Then I would go to my sister's room and spray her with my spray bottle, and it would turn to a water gun fight. And I just love it. So when I finally was able to buy like a real water gun, the joy in my heart, guys, the joy in my heart. As I saw it, I screamed. Like, I'm sure the person at the counter would have not been wondering what is going on. I picked two straight up. And there was a friend with me, and she was like, "Oh, why are you getting water gun?" I'm like, "Trust me, water gun fight, beautiful. Nobody really gets hurt, you just get wet. And the person that ends up being soaked the most loses." So it's just a fun game, and she equally bought one. I was like, when I come to your house, all of us will play water gun fight. And I'm like, yes, adults reliving their childhood, I don't call it dreams, but just reliving their childhood in little ways. I'm up for it anytime, any day. And that was just one of those things that just really, till now, like, it's in my room, and anytime I sit on my bed, I just see it because I kept it on my shoe rack. I just see it, and it just makes me smile. It just makes me smile because I'm like, gosh, the day I'm going to play this thing, I better just have my hair on. No wigs, nothing, just my hair, because it's not gonna be funny. And I am looking forward to it. So in case you're looking for someone to play water gun with, you have a sparring partner already. By the way, my aim is impeccable, so just get ready to be soaked. But I mean, that's the point of the game. So that was one thing that really got me up this week. Then I think yesterday I went to the store to buy something real quick, and as I was coming back in the evening, I saw children. Children are just amazing, to be honest. Children, beautiful people. I can't even imagine that I used to be a child, in the sense that my reasoning is totally different and how I see things is just different. So here's what I mean. Like I said yesterday, I was coming back, I saw like a group of kids. It looked like they sent them on errand, but the way children are, they will play, they will stall, have fun, do whatever. So they were playing ball. It's so funny how they sent you an errand, you took your ball with you. So they were playing ball, and the ball rolled off the road into the drainage by the side. So one of the kids, jumped into the drainage, rather, to pick up the ball that fell in. Then the other ones were just laughing. It was so fascinating. And they were like, ha 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 ha. Look at this 12-year-old boy inside the drainage picking up his ball. And it was like a real funny thing to them. And I did not get the joke. Because I'm like, okay, it's the logical thing to do. Your ball rolls off onto the other side, you go in and pick up your ball. It's like, but it was such a fascinating, not just fascinating, just a very funny experience for them. Like, they were properly laughing. And I'm like, I now felt like, when, obviously I was not a part of their group, but because, somehow we're kind of walking together. So, yeah, I somehow put myself into their group. But the way that I felt left out, like, okay, so what's the funny thing? The ball rolled off. what's the funny thing? And they were laughing. And I, in that moment, I just thought of it that I really must be old. Because I did not... Now I get why they say maybe, like, may we never lose our wonder. Children, I don't know how they see the world. I really don't. And I can't remember, because, you know, we were all once kids, and I really can't remember. Because now that I'm trying to think about it, when I was younger, it wasn't really like a fascinating perspective. It was just who I was. I know that I would say things and, you know, older people would laugh, be like, oh, she's just a child. But then I was really serious. Like, it was a serious question, but they just laugh at it. But now that I am looking at it on the other side of the semi-grown up, I just really, it was like they were seriously laughing, and I just wondered how they really do see the world, how, you know, small things really does bring them joy, and it kind of makes sense why they can watch cartoons forever. And, you know, it makes sense why if Tom falls off the floor is such a funny thing, or why if Jerry squirts milk in the face of Tom is a funny thing, or, you know, why it's a funny thing to, I don't know, it just seems like it just kind of in that moment makes sense, the little things that they really do derive joy in. Children don't, I don't know, it's just it was just a really fascinating thing for me, because I looked at it from the side of logic. Your ball falls down, you pick it up. It's not funny. You just pick it up and move on. It's just what happens. Really, it's just what happens. I mean, in fact, it's not even just what happens. If you were an adult, you would kind of be like slightly irritated out. Oh my God, it fell into the drainage. Now I have to get into the drainage. My clothes will get stained. It might be smelly. I might touch stuff that is dirty and all of that. So it's not even really just a normal thing. It can be slightly irritating for an adult. But for a child, it was really funny. It was just really funny. And I still don't get it. I really don't get it. And I'm just wondering, what must have changed? Like, what's really... does happen that we change, that, you know, that transition, because we were all kids, and I'm sure that, you know, things really did used to fascinate us to then, that would laugh at, you know, silly things that were not necessarily silly things. But it's just amazing how we transition, should I say, effortlessly, and we now begin to look at what we used to do as kids as silly things, or as, okay, so what's funny? I don't know. Is it too much life pressure? Is it too much? I don't know. Like, what really does... What's that shift? What causes that shift? What's that... this thing? Because that... when I saw that, for me, it was kind of a lesson, because it just showed how... I kind of get why, you know, Louis Armstrong sang What a Wonderful World. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't really... the song wasn't necessarily from the perspective of, you know, having big things, or, you know, it was just about, you know, I just look at the sky and I think it's a wonderful world. I hear babies cry and I think it's a wonderful world. All the just regular, mundane, everyday life thing, and I really do think it's a wonderful world. And in that moment, I just thought of it that if this, you know, these children go home and you were to ask them, like, maybe what was the funny part of their day, they'll probably mention that moment, and it would have been a good thing for them. They would have just gone to bed and it would have been a great moment, and, you know, the day continues. It was just, you know, how I slightly envied them, because I just saw how appreciative they were. I know it was just a ball falling, but just I slightly envied them, because it was just, because if it were me, I kind of would be irritated that, you know, something I had fell inside the drainage, you know. But they just you know, took it with a pinch of salt, and it was just something they would just laugh about, ha 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 ha. And I don't know that really did, I mean, I pondered about it a lot for me to even be able to talk about it today. But yeah, it just, I wonder where we miss it as adults, you know, because I think that's a really beautiful way to look at life, I'm not gonna lie. And I really do wonder where we miss it as adults. But that's not what I plan to talk about today. I just, you know, wanted to share things that were off my chest or things that I was thinking about. Today's podcast itself is actually terrible math. Let me call it that way. Is okay. Let me say terrible but practical math. And by the way, I know what I'm saying, so I won't call myself like a fantastic math student. I'll say like I was like a B student at math ish. On the periods that I really study, I would get like an A, not an A plus, but you know, an A, you know, just an A. So I know what I'm saying, and I think I know what I'm saying. And you know, it's just this principle of, no, I won't call it a principle, is it a principle? But I'll just call it the 1 + 1 = 100. And what led me to, you know, talking about this was I still am reading a book, and you know, title of the book is Atomic Habits by James Clear, and it's talking, I mean, from the title, just talks about how habits are formed and you know, things you can do to reinforce good habits and all of that. Basically, that's like just like, you know, the summary of the book and all that. And there was a particular part of the book that really struck me and actually got me like thinking. And I guess that was like the first chapter, maybe like 2-3 pages in, or maybe even the first page actually. And it just really did, like, you know, I could relate to it, because maybe it's kind of maybe where I am at, or maybe where I've been to. I've been there, and I didn't handle it well, because I was just, you know, when you're in a situation and you probably don't know as much, you don't treat it as you ought to come out of it in a like better than, you know, how you went into it. So basically, it was talking about the aggregate of marginal gains. And you know what that means is, you know, finding a particular aspect of something that you do and trying to improve on it, even if it's by the tiniest, you know, by the tiniest possible percentage. If you can improve one thing, just, you know, 1% of something that you do effectively over time, by the end of the year, you're gonna end up like 37 times better at it. So let's say let me use what I do, make clothes. You make clothes, for example, and the process of making clothes starts from ideation, sitting down, you know, thinking of what you want to do, the kind of product, design. Then it leads to, you know, fabric sourcing, what kind of fabric works well for this kind of design. Then it leads to, you know, drafting your pattern. After drafting your pattern, cutting it out, then that's sampling, you know, making a sample out of it to be sure that, you know, everything, it works well. Sampling is like making sure your ideation up until your, drafting your pattern, cutting and sewing is good enough before you now get to, you know, mass producing. So, yeah, so all those stages, finding 1% to improve in everything over time. So let's say you start from ideation, which is sitting down to think. Normally, let's say if you want to release a collection, you have you probably maybe were inspired by, what can you be inspired by now? You probably were inspired by the earth. Let me just say that you're inspired by the earth. And you know how beautiful our world is, the green sky. Let's say the green sky, the blue skies, the green, the greenery, you know, the waters, everything that just, you know, come together, composition of the earth, and you're just inspired by it. So you probably want to make a 7 outfit collection out of that. Maybe one will be inspired by the sky, so you're looking at something blue, all of that. Basically, you just want to make a collection, and we are trying to improve our ideation process, even if it's just by 1%. So let's say normally you would in the process of, you know, creating and thinking and just, you know, trying to, you know, should I say birth that creative process, you would normally you would normally do it in your office, for example. You normally do it in your office, and you know that to an extent you're not a relatively tidy person. Maybe your workstation is pretty disorganized and all of that. Improving your ideation process, you know that, okay, you are, it's just logical, like where you think clearly if you're in like a clearer space, much more organized. So before you even say you want to sit down and, you know, start thinking about how you want to, oh, okay, maybe I want to be inspired by this, the sky today, what can we do? Before you do that, you make sure that the space that you use is first of all organized. It might not seem like anything, but that is how you start. And you know that, okay, for every time I say I want to do this, let's say I will be thinking about this collection every day for 30 minutes or 1 hour. You've given your time, like 12 o'clock, I start, and I'm done with that aspect for like 1 hour. So 12 to 1 o'clock. Before you start by 12 o'clock, maybe you spent like 15 minutes, 10 minutes. You start by 11:50, just trying to organize your space before you get into it. It really doesn't look like too much, because you can even be done in less than 10 minutes. You just have to make sure that maybe all the things that you use, your pencil, stationery, everything is by the side, so that you're not thinking that you remember, oh, I need to jot it down. You have to move out. You know, you just make sure that everything you have is needed. It really doesn't look like too much, right? It doesn't look like too much. But you've improved a little bit by that 1%. By the end of the year, or by the end of whatever period, let's say the end of the year, you've improved at least 37 times than you would have if you did not make that change. And you just showed me the power of small. That indeed, 1 + 1 at the end of the day will somehow equal 100. That is why I said, it's not terrible math. It really is not terrible math. And we're very quick I am very quick to just, I overlook small things, and it's really bad. And it just, when I read that and I really thought about it, it makes sense why savings actually is not because you have 100k somewhere you can drop it. It's that you have a 1k somewhere you can put it away. Tomorrow you see a 500, you can put it away. Then maybe next tomorrow, by chance, you see like a 5,000 or 10,000, you can put it away. After that 5,000 or 10,000, you may not see maybe another 200 somewhere, you put it away. But the point is, at the end of the year, you now end up with like a lump sum of money that is amazing. It doesn't necessarily mean that money that you got at the end of the year was something that you had at once, or you were getting in large sums periodically. It was just because you were stashing 1 naira today, 2 naira tomorrow, 3 naira tomorrow, and at the end of the year it became something huge, or like Sabino said, something huge. You know, it showed me why that makes sense. It shows me why compound interest makes sense. It shows me why how it is even possible to learn a skill. It basically just showed me how, in the first place, it is possible to learn anything. Because if we look at it from the perspective of, you know, education, and you are in school, you really, every doctor, every neurosurgeon, think of the most complex career path in this world. Let's say aeronautic, electrical, doctor, neurosurgeon, somebody, nephrologist, everything together, one person. Like, you had the most complicated career path that is full of everything at the end of the day. You really actually still did start from ABC. And 1, 2, 3. And yes, the ABCs just look like, if I, it was even like a sing song class in you know, in maybe crush or nursery school. It didn't seem like anything, you know. Some schools, they even played on TV, so it looks like, am I sending you to school? Well, in Nigeria, sure, that's what it's like, am I sending you to school to go and watch TV? But yeah, it just shows how no matter how much or where you end in the first place, it really does start from just this little 1 + 1. This base, this arithmetic is what will lead you to calculus, and is what is going to lead you to what led you to invent one big massive whatever in the first place. And I equally looked at it in the perspective of everyday wins, even if it is just like a small thing. You know, if it's just today being the, what's today's date, maybe today being today, you know, maybe a Thursday or a Wednesday, throughout the week you've probably been doing big things. You had a meeting, you killed it. The next day you had another, maybe client briefing, you killed it. All through the week you've been doing big stuff. Then maybe sometime on a Thursday or a Wednesday you didn't do anything. I kind of feel like, okay, it feels like a drag, you know. It's like, am I retrogressing? That's how I think though. I'm like, am I retrogressing? Like, I've been killing it all this while, so why is there like a, it feels like a downward hill. Are we going? No, you know, it still doesn't, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but at the end of the day, it's just a part of the process. It's just a part of it. I don't know how to explain it. It's just what it is. Some days are fantastic, some days are not. At the end of the day, if continually you're showing up with your 1% in terms of, you know, improving your output, your efficiency, and just making sure that you're bettering yourself at the end of the day, no matter how big, no matter how small, you know, ultimately 1 + 1 is going to equal 100. And it's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a case of, and even if, you know, there are times whereby you have like a massive shoot up, like there are some days that is not, you know, 1%, some days are like 98%, and that's fantastic. Then some days is not even 98, it's like 1. Some days is even -1. The point is, as long as there is a consistent, conscious effort to, you know, improving or doing something every day, you will always end up better. No matter how small that input might look like, you will always end up better. You will always end up better. And this, my perspective, maybe in line with the old story of the little children that I saw, is just like, no matter how each day comes, there's always a win in it. Even if it is 1%, there's always a win in it. And appreciating that 1% ultimately leads to you just really having a pleasurable life. I've heard of stories of people that just, they don't have money. They don't have, and this is not to say don't have money, but they don't have as much money as the popular people that you know that are, you know, well off and rich. But you see how contented and happy that they are. Is almost impossible. There are people that just say, I'm so blessed. And you look at them, it's not in terms of material things, but I really want to think that it's truly in the quality of life that they live. Because I've seen people that really do have money and it's not it at all. My estate has like provision for, you know, should I say in-house transportation. So there is a keke, that's Marwa, that, you know, navigates throughout the estate, or there are not just one, you know, there are kekes that navigate throughout the estate and all of that. And I went to visit a friend yesterday night. Our mom came by. I just went to greet our mom and all that. So when I was coming back, our house is not far from mine. Normally I would just, you know, trek, but it was late in the evening and I really wanted to go home to eat so that I will have dinner late. And I don't like eating too late at night. I just get bloated and it's not a really nice sleeping experience. So I just decided to take keke from our house down to mine. And you know, we just got talking and the man was so happy, and he spoke about how I think 3 months prior he had issues with the former keke he was using, and it was so bad and he was so sad and so just so pissed, because obviously that meant money wasn't gonna come in. And he was talking about how he prayed so hard and earnestly to God that he just really needed help, and the help came from somebody he wasn't expecting. And look at him now, it's like, oh my God, look at me now, I have my brand new keke and now I can continue my job. And it's like, isn't God so amazing? And you know, he was just sharing that with me and I was happy for him. Normally it would have cost me 100 naira. I just gave him the entire 200 because I was just so happy for him. Like, the joy was exuding. It was radiating so much happiness. In that moment, if I had had I was holding 200 naira. Normally, I'll collect my change. But if I'd had 500 naira or 1,000 naira with me, I wouldn't have. Like, I was just so happy. I would have just. I was going to let go everything that I had in it because it just showed so much happiness and contentment. And the truth is, this man is a keke driver. I'm not using it to insult him because I believe every work, as long as it's, you know, good work, is honest, void of any form of cheating or maybe ripping people off, I am down for it. Awesome. And I know that he really does work hard. So, but it was just the way that he was so happy because it was like, look at me and my, like the way he said it was like, look at me and my keke. It sounded as amazing as somebody saying, look at me and my Benz now, or look at me and my Tesla now. And he was just so happy about it. Like, do you know what it means for someone to be talking about getting a brand new keke? And you know, it was really so happy, and he's happy that he's doing this, he's happy that he gets to drive people. And I'm sure I'm not the only person he has told that story, and I'm sure I won't be the last person he's going to tell that story, because it was just overjoyed is the word that I'm looking for. And I thought about it, I'm like, I don't know, you know, that kind of story, most times people end up looking for a, you know, I was praying and I really wanted a brand new, like, it sounds like it would be much more of, in quotes, should I say, a testimony, if it was, oh, I was praying for a keke, then I got a car, I got a maybe Toyota Camry, I got a Corolla, I got a Hyundai, or, you know, I got something that was way bigger. But it was the fact that, you know, I prayed for this thing and I hoped for this thing and it came to me, and it came to me brand new, and I can continue my work. He said it in a way like, I'm super contented, like nothing can change this story for me. And in that moment, it also showed me how lacking I was too, because I don't know, maybe because I don't drive a keke fine, but it would really mean a big deal for me if it was I was believing or I was really praying or hoping for something small, but I got something bigger. So yeah, now I can tell everybody, because it really does sound like a huge miracle, you know. But it was just in the power of this, you know, this thing that I hoped for, it came true. Like, it just came true. My point is, really, there are people that have so much and don't appreciate or don't see anything in it. That there are people that have, you would consider little, and it just makes sense to them. That was just I don't know how to put it. It was just a really beautiful thing. Like, I don't think you can get that man sad in the next couple. Nothing in the next few weeks can hit that man that would be such a mighty blow that I will forget this thing that had happened. And it just really shows me that if we choose to, you know, be introspective and look at things in our lives daily, that there is beauty in, ultimately we will live a beautiful life, irrespective of having all the finest things in the world or not. We will live a beautiful life. We will live a beautiful life. I think of stories of, maybe when I hear people talk about parents or grandparents and how they didn't really have so much, or even grandparents talking about how they didn't really have so much, but they are just so happy to die because they know that they've lived life. They've seen their children or seen their children's children, and it's just a beautiful thing for them. And if they end up not being here tomorrow, they really would say they've lived a good life. And I wonder, because I'm like, from the story that I heard, you were a tailor. Like I said, not to insult anybody, because technically I make clothes now. So if you consider that as an insult, I guess I'm insulting myself too. But, you know, it's like, you were a tailor. It's not like you did a big thing in that sense, you know. So it didn't really used to make sense to me. And I'm like, you know, maybe these are just things that people say just to satiate their soul and feel like they didn't I know. I'm not really. I used to think in a funny way, but it just, you know, I just thought about it, and it does make sense. If there is something in your life, no matter how bad it is, I watched a video on Instagram, and the funny thing is, I can't even remember who said it. You know, one of those things you just randomly come across on your feeds, and she said, and it has changed me. It has changed me for like since the first time that I edited, and that's how I've been thinking, which is about like maybe like, so I said like a 6 months, yes, about 6 months now. And she said she's not allowed to have a bad day until she has hit 7 losses in a day. I'm like, what does that mean? Said every single day she gives herself the opportunity to hit 7 failures. That is when she calls it a bad day. So if that day she maybe, and this is really hard, this was really hard for me because I'm a morning person. So if I have a blow early in the morning or before 12, I'm like, ah, this thing is looking like a bad day already. That's how I think, because my energy is in the morning. Everything that I do, I try to do during the day. As long as there's sunlight, I'm giving it. Once it's past 6 like this, no matter how much glucose I drink throughout the day, trust me, my battery is down because I just think it's time to sleep and rest, you know. So I'm a morning person. So all that I want to do in the morning. So if anything comes up that affects that my flow, I just feel like, the devil wants to come and work today. Jesus, please take the wheel. That's how I just begin to think, right? But when she said it, she was like, she's not allowed to have 7 losses. She's not allowed to have a bad day until she has hit like 7 shaggies back to back. And what that means for her is if she wakes up and let's say she can't find her keys, she won't call it a bad day. If the second loss she faces is that maybe her car isn't working, she won't call it a bad day. If it's that she maybe forgot her wallet at home and couldn't pay for something, she won't call it a bad day. If maybe the position she was vying for, an opportunity she was vying for, didn't come through, she won't call it a bad day. And that's already 4 losses, right? If let's say along the line she had a wardrobe malfunction throughout the day, she won't call it a bad day. That's number 5. If let's say she ate something for lunch and it kind of gave her like maybe food poison, she won't call it a bad day. That's number 6. Until something happens the 7th time before she calls it a bad day. And to be honest, that's building a lot of endurance to face many hits in just small 24 hours. And me, I don't even really calculate it as 24 hours because most of the time you're asleep at night into the early mornings. So depending on how early you wake up, if you wake up by 5 and you go to bed by, let's say 10, that gives you technically 7, another 7, 14. That gives you about, let's say, 17 hours of being active. That's, let's say, 7 hours has come out from the day, right? 7 hours has come out from the day, if my math is correct. Yeah. So that gives you 17 hours of being active or being productive to do whatever you want to do. Knowing fully well that it's not like you're a machine, you'll be running that 17 hours. But point is, you are just awake 17 hours. So out of that 17 hours, knowing that in that 17 hours, something is knocking you 7 times within that 17 hours, that means every 2 hours, technically every 2 hours, or sort of on an average every 2 hours, you are facing 1 shiggy. Do you know how crazy that is? To be facing 1 shiggy every 2 hours. Why? Because the chances are the shiggy you are facing, that 1 shiggy you are facing every 2 hours, there's a chance that you are probably not going to solve it that day, or you are never going to be able to solve it within the next 2 hours. So you are probably rolling over shiggies that you have not been able to solve. And to add, and to say that you are not still calling it a bad day, or you refuse to believe it's a bad day until it hit 7. I just felt like that was such a powerful thing. Because me, like I said earlier, once it is 1 like this, I'm packing up, but I'm already like, like 3 days ago, I faced like 3 back-to-back in the morning. So in the space of 1 hour, 3 things were just, I was almost going to cry and be like, why? You know, but I remembered again that Oyinkosola, until it hit 7. And I'm also proud of myself because I faced 3 in the morning, which is like my prime time. I faced 3 in the morning, like within an hour, maybe within 2 hours. And it was that I didn't give up. I really do applaud myself. And I've made up my mind that until the day it hits 7, I'm going to jack it up. So the day I hit 7 losses in a day, I'm going to change it to 8. And that's how I'm going to continue to live because I can't. A day is too precious. Like I just calculated now, is if we look at it truly, you're not really up the entire 24 hours. So let's say you have like 17 hours of active time. So in each day, you just have 17 hours. Imagine carrying so much, let's say, depending on what happened, so much bitterness and anger and, you know, whatever happens throughout that 17 hours that you will never get back, no matter how hard. See, time machine to take us to the past and future has only happened in movies. You will never get it back. And I just made up my mind that the day I hit 7 losses in a day, I'm going to jack it up to 8. And the day I hit 8, I'm going to jack it up to 9. And that's just a way to live a life that you really don't have bad days. You can just have, you know, bad challenges, but it doesn't make it a bad day. And, you know, when you... That might just be the 1% efficiency you need for your life or for whatever process that you're working on. And when you just, you know, ultimately add these little things together, it just overall leads to a better person. I spoke to a friend, you know, recently and was like, he doesn't really set goals for the year because he has understood that this thing is time. That 2024 or 2023 is saying... this time for this period, ultimately everything is just time. So, and this is not to, you know, disprove the concept of goals because it really does work, but yeah, just learns to, you know, break them up into time and not like into, should I say, smaller time as compared to a larger period of time like a year, you know. So it's a small thing of, okay, what do I want to improve within the next month, or what do I want to improve in next week, which makes, you know, having to-do lists better for him. And he has seen that that kind of works for him, you know. So it's just I don't know how to put it, but it just, like I said, the concept of this, you know, aggregate of, you know, marginal gains was spoken in line of, you know, building habits and just, you know, finding something that you can just keep doing steadily and improving over time. It becomes who you are. It becomes your identity. Right? And I just saw it in the light of just living a better life, to be honest, as compared to, you know, and well, maybe it's still not wrong because, you know, trying to build positive habits is just a way to reinforce a particular identity that you want, ultimately leading to living a certain type of life that you want to live. So yes, I guess that maybe that works too, but I just thought of it like having to just finding small things every day that just shows how well ultimately you can live a great life void of material things. And not to say, obviously, from if you've listened to me very well, you know that is not that I'm saying don't have money. Like I said, if you've listened to this podcast forever, you know that there is no way under heaven that I preach against having money. But, you know, it just shows how you really can improve your life daily, even in seasons where it doesn't look like things are happening so much or you're doing so much. Because it's not in the doing so much every day. It's in just, you know, doing the best every day that leads to so much ultimately. So maybe times when I don't have so much to do, or maybe times where I'm not as engaged as I normally would, I don't look at myself as unproductive, or I don't look at myself as being slack, or maybe people are doing better than I am, or my mates are moving forward, or things like that. I just find something small to do, and that might just be even playing water gun. I mean, because if you have fun that day, it is better than not having fun at all. So yes, that can be the 1% improvement. Or like I've been doing now, I've just, you know, been trying to... What's the word that I'm looking for? What's this word? Oh my God. for writers where they can't write, it's called writer's block. If you can't read, what's it called? Is it reading block? I don't know. I couldn't really read as much. I was now really reading fiction, which is not bad, but you know, it's better things to do. But I still love reading fiction, you know. So I stopped. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna just be reading fiction. So I just stopped for a while. So I'm trying to get into reading like good books again, or non-fiction, you know, self-help, you know, all that again. So that can be my improvement in towards, you know, towards anything. And the 1% improvement can be that you decided to maybe try hand on a new recipe that you found, maybe baking. It's better than not doing it at all, because now that you did it, you are good at it. Or even if you're not good at it, you've learned from it, and it's better than not doing it at all. It's just the, I don't know, it's just, I just feel like, to be honest, the math really does make sense, even though it's not correct, but it kind of makes sense that the little things really does compound to become big. And you know, there's this thing that I saw that says that at the end of the day, no matter what you're building, whether it's good habits or bad habits, time will be the revealer. If you're doing something, you know, towards building a good habit, at the end of the day, time will become your friend, and you will be so happy you did it in that time. But if what you are doing is bad, it definitely leads to reinforcing bad habits, and over time you will regret it. So point is, time is the leveler, time is the exposure. You will just see it with time. So if at the end of the day, you know, these little things that you get to do, maybe if it is, you know, just finding something to do for yourself that just improves. I'm not even talking about improving work or improving this thing, because I think that we tend to do that a lot. Because, you know, you have a boss, they are paying you, you want a promotion. So, of course, you do that. Of course, you take a course to, you know, bump up your position. Of course, you do that. But for life, like for you, it's not really, instead of improvement, it seems like routine. That, oh, okay, I wake up by 5, I get ready to get dressed, I have to leave my house by 6, so that I get to work for 7:30 to start by 8. Then do all the things that I need to finish by 5. I leave by 5:15 so that I don't get too stuck in traffic to get home by 7:30 to eat, have dinner by 8 or 7:45, depending on how fast it's ready, to rest a bit, catch up a bit, go to bed by 10 to repeat. But there is really isn't any improvement, you know, in your day or in the quality of life you live at the end of the day. It's just, you know, you tend to do this again, and that's what leads to, when people retire, it seems like they don't know what to, you know, what to do, or what to do. I listened to this, there was this thing that there's a woman I follow on Instagram, Ndidi Kanu, I think that's her name, right? And she spoke about somebody, a particular person, I think it was this, he's the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And basically she was talking about having, should I say an alter ego, or having another personality as compared to, don't let me say another person, that's schizophrenia, but having, like, for lack of a better word, let me say having an alter ego, in the sense that this particular man she was, you know, talking about, it was a CEO of like a Fortune 500 company, so you can imagine kind of work that he does. But this man, I think maybe he DJs or he's a musician. Not like, obviously he's not popular as in blown, but you know, I think he likes music, so he has his own SoundCloud, maybe creates mixtape or something and just uploads. Like that's his other side, you know. Apart from work and, you know, worrying about numbers and revenue and all those big stuff, it just has this thing that he does, that he just, you know, uses to just play. And it can seem like an unserious thing on the outside, but it just really was such a shocker for me, because I know that at the end of the day, if that man should have to maybe be retired today or is replaced or anything, and he doesn't know what to do, or he's done, let's say he's retired, not even like he was replaced, let's say he's retired, obviously he has made money and that's not his problem now. There are other things he can find to do with his time, and that's why it makes sense for someone like, you know, Stephen Curry being like an NBA championship, or an NBA, you know, to have won like NBA championships and to be an NBA champion, to still play golf. Like, yes, it's sport and you would think that you're already an athlete, but it also makes sense to know that apart from playing basketball that I love, it's also my work. I also just have something that I can just, you know, do. By the way, he's amazing at golf, you know. If we don't, you know, find something that's just different from our routine and we just do that, tends to improve or become, just, you know, be better at it. That's why some people say they have boring lives, or people just think life is just work. So when they're not working, they don't really understand what they're doing and all of that. So point is, I'm not even talking about this in terms of what the book spoke about, like building good habits. I'm just looking at it as to, you know, daily improving little parts of our lives that ultimately just leads to living a better life. And if that is maybe improving something that you do, at the end of the day, I really do look forward to, there are two things I really want to be able to do. Or let's say three things now that I think about it. I want to be able to speak French fluently. I just want to be able to have a language that I speak that is not English, Yoruba, or Pidgin, or that is not Nigerian in that sense. And I know that, yes, English is a world language, yada yada yada, but it's still Nigerian because we speak it in Nigeria, and Yoruba is Nigerian, and Pidgin actually is Nigerian, you know. But I would love to have to speak French, and I've tried, but I've never really succeeded at it to the point that I want. French is that language that I've been learning since I can remember. From primary school, French has always been in my curriculum, but I never got it right. Secondary school, I did French. Even after uni, I enrolled for a beginner course in French. I completed it, but I still couldn't speak the language. I just know the je m'appelle, those stuff that every other person knows. But I really want to be able to speak French. I do. I know that I would not be as fluent as a native speaker, but I want to understand what they say and maybe be able to carry on a decent conversation. I'm not even going to lie. I just want to be able to do basic conversation in French. And another thing I really would love to do is love to play the violin. Not the piano, not the guitar, just the violin. I feel like it's a beautiful instrument. I really want to get into pottery. I love it that your hands can make something like with clay and, you know, a spinning wheel or whatever they call that thing that spins. Like, you can literally mold anything as long as your imagination is wild. Like, anything. I think that's amazing. I just think it's an amazing form of art and I want to do it. And these things I have not been able to, but maybe I can start with French. I don't have a violin yet. I guess the only way to improve on that is to buy one, but I don't have that yet. But French, I think I can do like a Duolingo class, start in bits and pieces and see where that takes me. So, you know, just injecting new things. And I also think that this is one of the reasons why there are certain young older people that you can only tell their age by maybe how they look, but in how they relate with people that are considerably younger than them, you can tell how, you know, full of life they are. They don't act old. They are not uninformed as to what is going on today. You can talk to them about anything. They are not those kind of people that you're like, oh, you're probably teaching how to, you know, operate an iPhone or and not to say like Apple is the peak of technology, because I don't even know what they're doing these days, but that's not my point. But yeah, just to, you know, there are some people that you just have to teach how to use stuff, but they are not like that, you know. And I see that is because they are doing things, they daily improve themselves, they're always doing something, or they are always trying to learn. They may not be good at it, but they just learn, they just plug into it, and they just, you know, plug into it. And I think they've they've learned it in the ass, in the sense that they just know that all you have to do is start it, and along the way you can now even think of improving, but all you have to do is start it. But yeah, so that's it. 1% equals to 100 in life. Yeah. If you listened up until now, thank you so very much. It really does, you know, amaze me that people listen to me. I'm not gonna lie, I know I say this every time, but I'm not gonna lie, it does amaze me that people actually listen. Not just even listen to the end. So if you did listen to the end, thank you so very much. I really do appreciate it. Another thing that I was super surprised at, I know I say, oh, like, share, rate this podcast. I did not know that some people had actually even rated it. So people did rate it. And when I saw it on Spotify, I'm like, you people rated? Wow. Wow. I'm shocked. Not gonna lie, shocked. So if you did rate this podcast, thank you. And if you've not rated this podcast, what are you waiting for? So please rate the podcast, like, share, very important. Please share and rate. Like, share, rate this podcast. And up until next time that I drop another episode, hasta la vie.